Being tuned in means serving Charlottesville on the radio since 1933.
Seville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
Tastes like strawberries on a summer evening, and it sounds just like a song.
Joe Thomas in the morning.
One more berries and that summer feeling.
Joining us,
it's so wonderful.
From the Free Enterprise Forum.
Breathe me out.
He's our watermelon man. Somehow he's managed to pen what I think is a great piece of commentary where he compares affordable housing to watermelons. Only he can explain. Neil Williamson, good morning. How are you doing, sir?
Well, that's a Grammy Award-winning lead-in. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, did Harry Styles win a Grammy for Watermelon Sugar?
I don't think he did. I think it was a performance that was on during the program. But
I
will say that it is a an earworm of a ditty.
Yes, 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 it is. So your piece, and I had to say, it really is one of your best ever, and it is one of the existential issues in Charlottesville. As the economy kind of the gap, and we were actually talking about the old Chamber of Commerce reports on employment in the Charlottesville area, and it would point to how large the retail sector was regarding how many people in our workforce work in retail. And, those jobs don't necessarily crank out the kind of income that can afford, the inventory and the a $1,200 apartment in Charlottesville. As our friend Ridge Schuyler said a few months ago, we need people building $800 a month, one and two bedroom apartments in this area. But tell us first, why you connected affordable housing to watermelons.
Well, it's a connection that really had been brewing for some time. In 2005, the Free Enterprise Forum was opposed to what was then a new inclusionary housing program, whereby if you build a new development, new residential development, you are required to build 15% of those units to be affordable to those earning 80% or less of the area median income.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were opposed to that. And the other part of that particular regulation is that Albemarle County was required to provide buyers that fit into what was a very narrow band of income. You couldn't earn too little because you wouldn't qualify for the mortgage. And you couldn't earn too much, or you wouldn't qualify for the program. So,
small population.
Yeah. Since 2005, this particular program has produced, I believe it's 46 affordable units. Now, that's not really making a dent in the housing affordability need. It's great for those 46 families, but
now, when
that's
you say
not
that,
really making it. Go ahead.
When you say that, it's not that the builders only built 46 units. The builders built all the units, and then Albemarle was only able to put 46 people in them. Because what happens to a unit if Albemarle County fails to find a tenant or a resident for that unit?
Well, in the case of this regulation, at 90 days, Albemarle County has 90 days to identify and bring forward a qualified applicant for the program. If they fail to do so, those units go back into what I call the builder's inventory and get sold at market rate rather than subsidized. And so that unit is likely no longer affordable,
right,
in most cases. So to fix this, the Albemarle County decided that really the problem isn't that they aren't identifying the people, it's that they're not getting enough units to waste, so their proposal is to increase the rate necessary so that 20% of your new development must be affordable to 80% or greater, or 80% or less area median income. So if you're building 100 houses, 20 have to be subsidized to be affordable. This leads to the quote where I said, you've just made housing less affordable for 80% of the new home buyers.
Right.
But the comparison to watermelons is I tell the story of a couple of really sharp salesmen who go down to Mexico, pick up a truck, and fill the watermelons. Where they buy them for a dollar, and they get to Dallas. They drive to Dallas to sell them for $10 a dozen. And they make it halfway to Dallas, and they sell out all the watermelons. And so as they're counting the money, they say, well, we didn't make as much money as we need. We need a bigger truck.
We need a bigger truck. Oh, it's, you know, it's $10 a dozen. I love it. But it was only a dollar a watermelon, but we sold them $10 a dozen. That does sound like government policy, Neil. You know, and one would wonder, why wouldn't Albemarle County, you know, failing to find enough qualified tenants for these affordable housing units, lower their end of the bargain from, say, 80% of median family income to 70 or even, you know, 66.7.
Right. And the reality that you get into there is the math. And you still need to have families that earn enough to qualify for the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to have a mortgage associated with it. So instead of focusing on making the development community subsidize the units, what about providing that level of assistance to the families for down payment assistance, to lower the mortgage, perhaps for more economic development? You were talking about the jobs that are here aren't the jobs we want. Well, that's a great problem to have. You've got jobs.
Right.
Maybe we need to focus more on what we're doing to support. Ridge mentioned the need for these $800 apartments, and yet we see when an apartment complex is proposed in Northern Albemarle, the the homeowners association hires a consultant, and 80 people stand up and say, "No, we don't need any apartments,
or we don't want any apartments, or we'd love to have apartments, just not here."
Right, right, and it's not just the apartments we're opposed to; it's what kind of people are going to live in those apartments.
Oh yeah.
They're not going to look like me.
Yeah, that's the
and
fun
that's
part of
the problem.
Hey, Neil, hang on to that a second. Neil, it's freeenterpriseforum.org, or just read his blog at freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com. I've got to run to a break. Can we hang on to you to the other side?
You bet.
No Russian disinformation.
Мы обещаем.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Come on.
Neil Williamson joining us from the Free Enterprise Forum, and I'll share a link out to the story. Actually, I think I may already have. I'm not really, sometimes technology gets ahead of me. Affordable housing is the issue, and a great story about, you know, real business leaders, and why the column is called Watermelons and Affordable Housing. Before you all start going after them, it's a great comparison to what Albemarle County's policy, public policy, has been regarding the affordability of housing. But I want to, you know, I think as an omnibus, this should go along with your coverage of the one group of people that never get heard from. You mentioned it right before we went to break, Neil. The one group of people you never hear from in these public comment sessions regarding the development of an affordable housing building or complex in a neighborhood are the people who might live there.
That's very true. And in fact, there was one person who spoke at the RST public hearing, who was a younger woman who had children in the background, because of course it's 7:38 o'clock at night, and she said that she lived in Charlottesville and rented, it sounded like, and that she really wanted for people to have homes and places to live.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge for the elected officials, and this is a challenge, is that if a development is approved for, and it includes, 300 affordable units, those units take a while to be built. And meanwhile, those people aren't here to support that elected official, yet the people that are here are opposed to that very housing, yeah, and they will lose their job. It is a challenge that we have to take on as a community, how we want to do these create affordable housing. And the best way to do that, I believe, is through the market and through partnerships, public-private partnerships, and reducing the regulation surrounding housing. I mean, before you break ground, you're into it for $25K, easy. And it is a challenge. I think that's an easy buy down for Albemarle County to make, is partnering to reduce the regulatory burdens on affordable housing.
Well, you look at that, you look at density, and you know, certainly that number, you know, you realize why somebody doesn't build an affordable home, because it's already costing more than most, you know, people at that income level could put together before you even put a shovel into the ground. But you scale it up, you look at those sorts of things, and you realize that there's also the aspect of, you know, what can be done to generate workforce development. And you look at some of the commitments to economic development still in Albemarle County is paltry. In they're having their series of budget discussions. I think it's just over $300,000, and that's probably just enough for staff and a couple of people to go out there and say, hey, you want to move your business to Albemarle County, when they you know, work with VDOT to really ruin the intersection of 64 and 29 towards anything developmental anymore with these left turns and these traffic lights. I don't see why anyone would, you know, move in there. That was kind of the Deschutes plan, was to develop sort of a business park there. And we have how many entrance corridors now, Neil? How many roads are considered entrance corridors by Albemarle County?
Well, there were 21, but about half of those were illegal, we found out.
Does Albemarle regulate them?
This is just in Albemarle County, 21 ways in that are called entrance corridors.
That they can say you can or can't do something on it because they have this viewshed protection in these corridors. Beyond just, you know, architectural review, planning commission, and all the other democratic capitalism that goes on there, what I'm saying is sometimes it also, part of this should be developing, you know, more job opportunities that will pay better, so that more people can afford the housing that's there. While you're working to lower the cost at one end, we need to kind of work on the workforce, like our friends Ridge and Frank do at Network to Work, to grow the income levels.
Agreed, and quite honestly, today at 4 o'clock, Albemarle County's Economic Development Authority will meet, and we'll be discussing those kinds of things. I will say that in the last 7 years, Albemarle County's attitude toward economic development has improved. When I started in this job many moons ago, economic development was thought as an afterthought, and now it actually is having an impact, a positive impact. It has a long way to go. People say, oh, well, you know, you don't want to be Fairfax Albemarle or something. Mm-hmm. Well, Fairfax County has 5 economic development offices, one on each of the continents. That's different than the 3 employees Albemarle County has.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. And when you say continents, you mean that. You mean there are people in Europe that are saying, hey, come move your business to Fairfax County.
Absolutely true, and they're cashing a check from Fairfax County, Virginia, and that's one of the reasons it's one of the most affluent counties in the nation.
You know, and I really hope that this gets fixed. What is your view of the planners and the advice they give the Board of Supervisors regarding this? Because I think, you know, going forward, this is going to be an issue that's going to hamstring the development of future budgets and tax rates and things like that.
Housing Albemarle is a huge document. It has many good ideas in it. It has this bad idea in it. I am hopeful that after a public hearing, the supervisors will say, let's fix this bad idea, let's fix this other bad idea, let's fix this bad idea, and then take action. I fear what will happen is there'll be 10 speakers about this or less, and they'll enact it in total because it's gone through the public process of a year and a half. This is not ready to be enacted. It's bad policy, and I fear it's going to be enacted.
Well, so people need to sign up, and you said public hearings, and not tonight. That's the Economic Development Authority. Right now, the county is doing their budget work sessions, but will there be more public engagement opportunities?
Yes, this this particular matter will be at public hearing. It's the first public hearing on Wednesday at 6 p.m. And you can tune in via your computer and you can sign up to speak. Or you can always write a note to the supervisors at bos@albemarle.org.
Great stuff. And first read Neil's column and then circle go back in his library and read the one. What's the title of the one that you wrote about, you know, the folks who are not heard from in these debates sometimes?
Well, in December I wrote a piece that said our greatest challenge to affordable housing, and that's NIMBYs. And that is a December post that's on the website. Just look through the library, and it's there for you to understand, or just go online and plug in the search parameters affordable housing. You'll see 40 different stories that I've written over the years about affordable housing in Albemarle, Charlottesville, and the surrounding region.
Well, your wife may have said during this one column that one day in the newspaper may not have been your best, but both on your blog yesterday and on the radio, this has been some of your best. Neil, thank you so much, my friend, and you have a great morning.
Have a good day, Joe.
And keep in mind, your Board of Supervisors elections this year. I mean, this is also an election issue.
From the governor's mansion to City Hall, all of the election 2021 coverage you need at the top of every hour, right here on WCHV. Well-